there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Badger. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What a goal by Badger!
Townsend right in there. Houghton also making his presence felt. There's his shot. It's a goal for Ireland! And Ray Houghton has made it 1-0. It's a great run by Michael Owen, and he might finish it off. Oh, it's a wonderful goal! Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, and he has it.
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly, Kevin. Will he score? The 90s football show. I am Chris Skoll. Welcome to some World Cup specials. Joining me, the World Cup's Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And the World Cup's Michael Marden.
Hello.
So every week we're discussing various aspects of a World Cup, trying to create our bespoke World Cup. We've had mascots, strikers, songs. This week we're looking at memorabilia, our ultimate piece of memorabilia, Josh.
I'm very excited. I brought mine with me. Michael's brought his.
And I've got mine.
Very exciting for a podcast where you can't see what's going on. Before that, we've got loads of correspondence. Do you want a couple of pieces?
Yes, please.
I'm Jim Rosenthal, and this is the Electronic Postbag.
You've got mail.
Now, last time I offered up two titles for emails, which we didn't get to, so should we just do them?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. This is from Paul Thurston. Did I remember this right?
Do 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 I remember this right? Right, that's right. Hi fellas, just getting in touch after watching the Aussies against Denmark yesterday, subsequently listening to your show. The combinations of 90s football in Australia took my mind back to one of my favourite Australian football moments. Whilst these are very few and far between, there's one thing I will always remember. This is in an episode of Neighbours where two characters, can't remember their names, I've since watched the clip myself, it's Debbie and Rick, are chilling out in Trafalgar Square. They have their camera stolen. Within seconds, they are jumping in the cab for a chase across London, eventually ending up in the Clock End at Highbury, where they're confronted by a gang of youths. Cut to credits. He has sent through the YouTube clip. I can't believe we didn't know this existed. Are you aware of this?
No, never heard
this,
of it before.
This actually happened.
So basically, what happens, right? And I can't believe we haven't discussed this before. Did you used to watch Neighbours in the 90s?
A little bit, yeah.
So Debbie Martin and Rick Alessi, they're in Trafalgar Square and they get their camera stolen. And then there's like this chase where they get in a taxi and they chase this kid on the bus. They chase the kid into a disused Highbury Stadium.
Right.
In the Clock End. And then, well, we'll watch it. It's really surreal.
Hey, you got another roll of film I gave you? I just want to change it now. Good. Grab the film. Hey, that kid's taking the camera.
What?
So basically, a kid steals his camera when he's opening his sandwiches in Trafalgar Square.
Just forget it. We've lost him.
No. There he is. Yeah, taxi. Follow that bus.
So the kid gets on a bus, they hail a taxi.
It's worth saying as well that this is a...
It is a number 19, which is the bus that does go to Highbury, so that's correct.
The music's quite jaunty for a robbery.
Yeah, it's like a quirky storyline.
Let's get out of here.
It's gonna be somewhere.
Say cheese.
That's my camera, mate.
Nah, mine now.
Oh, you reckon?
Rick. Yeah. I reckon.
So am I meant to believe
So do you want to just describe the end scene of that?
So they chase the kid into an empty Highbury Stadium. Like, the kid goes, no, it's mine now. And then his gang come out of the shadows at the back of the stand.
As if this kid is in this group of hoodlums who seemingly live in Highbury Stadium.
Yeah, it's like something from The Warriors.
Yeah, it's like something from The Warriors, yeah.
And also, this is pre-mobile phone, so they're just waiting there for this kid to turn up with stolen stuff.
That sequence does one of those things that I love when, you know, when you know a place, like a city or somewhere you live, and then in a film or a TV show, there'll be a chase sequence. Someone will be in East London, and they'll walk around a corner, and they'll be at the South Bank. It's like, that taxi ride did not get them to Trafalgar Square.
No, if you went from Trafalgar Square to Highbury Stadium,
it's 25 minutes at least.
At least.
If you're lucky with traffic.
Chasing a bus.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing you can
also,
do.
Also, that bus is stopping at bus stops.
Yeah.
Why does he get on the bus?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That taxi would have made up on that bus.
Because they can also use the bus lanes as well, so there's no advantage for the bus there.
Yeah, there's no. This is pre-Uber.
Yeah.
He hasn't ordered an Uber. He's got in a black cab.
We'll tweet a link to the video. Watch it yourself and let us know what you think. Is it possible? Hello, it's what we're going to call.
But then the other thing is that then they turn up at Highbury Stadium. I'd love to see the start of the next episode. It's such a shame that that was the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I suppose that's why Cliffhanger works.
It's hooked you in.
Yeah,
25 years later.
Imagine if I rooted out the next episode and then I got back into Neighbours, but from that era. So I just started watching again from that era.
I mean, knowing you, that's not out of the question.
I'd love that, actually. I mean, what a find. I didn't know that existed. That is part of these things we've been discussing where it's football appearing in.
I think there's definitely something along the lines of football in soaps. I loved it in EastEnders when the characters support West Ham. Even though I know in real life the actors don't, but like Alfie Moon. I remember when Alfie Moon had a West Ham dressing gown.
Did he?
That reminds me, actually. You know, he did the thing with the Sheffield United kit in Batman.
Yeah.
Someone sent us a tweet saying that apparently Christopher Nolan is a Sheffield United fan.
Oh, really?
So that's why that kit is in there.
Lovely.
There we go.
He's gone for a deep cut as well. Yeah. He's not gone for a modern shirt. That's interesting.
Okay, do you want one more bit of correspondence?
Yep.
Hi, guys. Love the show. Enjoying the spin-off series and particularly the recent theme tune episode. Really happy that BBC's USA 94 theme got a collective thumbs up, as it formed the basis for a slightly odd international tournament football-watching behaviour, which I and friends indulged in the late 90s until it came to a sharp end in 2010. Basically, one of our number decided that instead of singing La 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 America, the words should be, we want to live in the Netherlands. And that every time we're watching a game in a pub that didn't involve England, The refrain should start up at a completely impromptu point in the match and baffle everyone else in the pub. They'd sing, we want to live in the Netherlands. Right? This was particularly helpful for numbing the pain watching tournament football after enduring yet another England gut-wrenching departure. It reached its high watermark when we indulged a spirited chorus just before the 2006 final penalty shootout between the French and the Italians. As we are both French and Italian fans, enthusiastically confirming their own desire to move to a flat country, notwithstanding the obvious stress of the spot kick situation. As Nelly Furtado rightly confirmed, all good things must come to an end. So it was the 2010 final led to one of our group refusing to sing in protest at the Dutch's rough house tactics in the final. With that, we were done. Marriage, kids, mortgages swiftly arrived for us, all meaning that watching non-England games with a pub just wasn't feasible. The USA 94 theme tune was just a fond fading memory. Until now, your show has persuaded me that it's time to put the band back together. And what better time, given that Holland aren't even in this year's World Cup? That's from John Lucarotti.
I hope somewhere out there, someone who's listening to this has also been in a pub where those guys had started singing, I want to live in the Netherlands. Now it makes sense. It all makes sense.
Sure, that's a catchy tune. I want to live in the Netherlands.
I want to live in the Netherlands. If you are watching football in a pub, we should say, do try and get it started.
Yeah.
It'd be great if it's spread round as a thing.
Well, here's a promise. If you can get more than like 10 people singing it in a pub and tweet it to us at Quickly Kevin, we will retweet it.
Yeah. Oh, that is a hell of a promise.
And if you hear someone else shouting it in a pub, just give a slap on the back and say, well done.
It's a great way of finding other Quickly Kevin fans.
I think we should aim higher. If you're listening to this and you're in Russia at the World Cup, and you've got tickets for the England-Sweden game, and you want to do a sort of World Grids on Fire.
No, that would have gone by the time this has gone out. Yeah, so it'll have to be England's... Oh, if we can't even say it, but potential semi-final.
If we've beaten Sweden and we're in the semi-final of the World Cup, there's a lot of ifs here. Get you and everyone around you to start that chant.
Yeah.
Please.
Anyway, and also, the new season will be starting. Any football, if you can get it on TV in any way, or just do it in pubs and film it, whatever... Let's spread this chant around. Yeah, let's not let I Want to Live in the Netherlands die. Yeah. I hope John doesn't mind us taking his him and his friend's private joke.
I'm sure he won't.
If you have got any other rewordings of songs that you've done, don't send them in. And I actually didn't put in that we got I got another email from John Lockerotti. P.S. I forgot to mention one small but crucial detail about the 2006 final. In amongst the French and Italian crowd, singing his heart out, in appreciation of the superior accommodation options in Holland, was Spurs and Coventry journeyman Steve Sedgley. I don't think I'd recognise Steve Sedgley if I was in a pub with him.
No.
I wouldn't unless he was eating a urinal cake.
Well, we were in a bar with Jason Cundy over the summer. Didn't recognise him.
No, but he was talking at length about how much he hated female commentators.
Yes, no.
Let's say it, what an awful man. Right. What a terrible man.
What a strange hill to die on.
Anyway, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about World Cup memorabilia. Now, who wants to go first? We've brought three things in to discuss.
Michael.
You go first.
Right. So, in front of me, listeners, is what I think is the all-time 90s World Cup memorabilia classic. I guarantee you 70, 80% of our listeners either had one of these or knew someone that had.
Hit it on the microphone, see if they can...
So, this is... I mean, apologies if that's really ruptured your eardrums. But in front of me is a tiny, I'd say size 1 or 2, red and white Italia 90 Coca-Cola football.
Wow.
Now, yeah, I can't remember exactly.
I can tell you why they were launched.
Go on then.
If memory serves. But yeah. I'm sure this will lose to a deluge of correspondence, this football being mentioned, because I'm not sure we have before. I think it was launched. I think there was a keepy-uppy competition. Like a nationwide keepy-uppy competition.
Oh, that rings a bell.
And I seem to remember one of the rules of the keepy-uppy competition, or the only rule perhaps, was that you could never use the same bit of your body twice in a row.
Right.
And you had to do it with a size 1 ball. Is that right?
Unbelievable. I think you're right about this. Do you remember there's an advert around this time of a kid in a back garden doing keepy-uppies?
Well, that's...
Who went on to become Scott Parker.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah.
I think it's later than Italian 90.
I think that might be Burger King. Anyway, I'm sure we'll be corrected. That kid went on to be Scott Parker.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is weird, because people that are good at those tricks are normally really bad at football.
Yeah.
My theory about these balls were that there was Little Chef... I thought Little Chef were handing them out if you spent over £20 or something.
Well, my memory told me that you had to collect tokens and send off for them, because that's what I really remember my mum doing. But I found no record of that. But one thing I do remember, because this is one we've got, which is mostly red with two little white panels, but I swear I had one that had green panels that had chow on it. I didn't have this same
Here we go.
You're obsessed.
And also, someone's told me that there was a gold one that was entirely gold. Now, I don't know whether this is true.
If you got the gold ball, you got a ticket to a tour around the Coca-Cola factory. It is an amazing thing. I'd be fascinated to know if anyone's got any more details as to why they existed, if there was this competition, if there was different types of it. But, did you have one, Scott?
Yeah, definitely. But the weird thing about them is, like, I understand it from a keepy-uppy perspective, but it's small and it's leather, like you say, so it's not really good for indoor use. You can't be kicking it around in the room because you're going to smash it up. And then, if you're going outside, you might as well have a proper ball.
Yeah.
So, like, the usage of it...
It's amazing.
Is a bit weird.
It's amazing advertising.
Yeah.
Because they seem so prevalent. Like, we all had one.
Yeah.
It is an astonishing item, that. It's what I absolutely love it.
And I'm sure every listener of this podcast, that like it's permeated culture, that little football. Like, it really does resonate with Italia 90. But also, why haven't Coke brought it back? There's so much that it's nostalgic. I mean, that's such an easy win.
Yeah, that's the trick.
If you had bought, like, 24...
Were they free? Did you buy them?
I think maybe there was a token. I don't remember.
Because I don't remember. I can't imagine I'd have ever said, owning a football, said to my dad, what I want, can you go out and buy me?
Yeah, they reek of some kind of... A thing you'd get free if your parents were buying something else. I don't think they go out of their way to buy it. It's like, if you spend £10 on petrol, you get a token. Yeah. And then after 10 of those tokens, yeah, you get one of these free balls.
Well, talking of petrol...
Well, lovely, well, actually, lovely link. Well, yeah, talking of petrol, so I think it was Esso used to do the, World Cup medal collections. This one's Sainsbury's.
Oh,
so
is
I think,
it?
So by France 98, I've got the France 98 official England squad medal collection. This is my own personal copy. I did have one at the time, incomplete, but I since found this one on a charity shop.
Nice.
Very, very lucky visit.
Oh, look at that.
So everyone's in here.
From the England team.
Everyone's in there. Glenn Hoddle's in here as well. I think this is out before the squad.
I remember collecting the 1990 ones, and I remember my dad specifically driving to Esso's. Like going out of his way to go to Esso's so that we could complete the collection.
You just wouldn't do that nowadays.
No, and then I remember hearing a rumour that one of the Esso's down the A38 towards Plymouth had a swap saucer where you could go in and it had the coins
that's
in.
The holy grail.
Yeah, and I remember us going there.
A swap saucer?
Wait, so if you got your coin...
Yeah.
And either you didn't want your coin, I suppose, or you already had it, you could put it in the saucer and get a different one. I remember getting John Barnes there.
We had a McDonald's on the Isle of Wight, and when you used to get Happy Meal as a kid, they were really militant about not letting you swap. And there's only one McDonald's on the Isle of Wight. So when I first went to the mainland to McDonald's and they let you swap your Happy Meal toy, I felt like I was in Xanadu. I was like, what is this strange and mystical place?
The streets are paved with gold. it's a complete medal collection.
So is it the correct squad?
Well, it's got Andy Hinchcliffe in, which I'd question.
Yeah.
Is Andy Hinchcliffe in the France 98 squad?
I can't imagine he was.
No. He didn't make it.
But it's a lovely thing. However, here's the thing. Statues of footballers. I think the Bobby Moore one outside Wembley. They generally, the bronze statues, they very rarely look anything like the people there.
We all remember the Ronaldo one.
The Ronaldo one. Yeah. Coin collections, exactly the same.
Yeah, they're
there's
awful.
Some absolute
howlers.
There's some howlers in here. I'll give you first Steve McManaman, who appears to be recast by Claire Ball.
Oh, wow. That is awful.
Paul Gascoigne here. Gazza.
The problem we've got with these is their teeth shine. He looks like Jaws from James Bond.
You know the film Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with the film within a film, Ben Stiller plays Simple Jack.
Yeah.
Well, that is Gareth Southgate's coin.
Oh, our Lord Gareth Southgate.
He's like,
oh, my
like
word, that's so unflattering. He looks like...
He looks like Ben Stiller as Simple Jack.
Yeah, he looks like...
He looks a little bit like, you know, the yokel character in The Simpsons.
Yeah, Cletus. He does look a bit like Cletus.
We'll tweet pictures of these on social media and stuff.
That is great.
God. That is horrific.
So the 1990 one was England and Scotland. Scotland were in the World Cup in 1998, but they didn't make the coin collection. Maybe north of the border you could get a Scottish one. I love the coin collection. They don't do them anymore, do they?
I've not seen them. I would have bought them if they did.
Would you?
All these things that people are just missing tricks left, right and centre. Sainsbury's. Yeah. Get the coin collection going.
I'm sure they've thought about it. I'm sure it must have become unprofitable.
Yeah, they probably looked at it as a real lost leader.
It doesn't take us to tell Coca-Cola and Sainsbury's where they're going wrong with their businesses.
And what about the mint? Who is minting this stuff? And what are they doing now?
Well, maybe they're doing normal...
Normal coins.
Normal coins.
If you've got the answer to that, don't email it.
Don't email it.
Right. This is astonishing. This is the Orbis World Cup 90 sticker album.
Yeah.
The complete collection. Do you remember this?
Existing? Yeah, I had a look at it.
It's more than just a sticker album, though.
No, it's basically one of those things that you collect the 20 parts.
Yeah.
And normally it would be like on warships or something.
Yeah.
So it's 20 magazines part by part, and then also it doubles up as a sticker album, so you're doubly collecting. I'd say it's the best sticker album that's ever existed. It's beautifully put together. So you've got all the teams, obviously. They come out too early, so they've got Denmark instead of someone that was actually in the World Cup. You know when they've got the wrong players? This has got the wrong team. Because this was released at, like, Christmas. I would have got this Christmas 1989.
Right.
But then it's also got all these other parts. So it's got, like, these pages about superstar players from Diego Maradona to Ruud Gullit. to Peter Shilton, to at one point Steve Nicol. I got this and I completed it. This isn't my original one. I don't know what's happened to my original. I think it kind of rotted away or whatever. I bought this on eBay for 30 quid.
That's such a bargain.
The beauty of it is, we'll put some photos on our Twitter, but you know when you're a kid and you just consume stuff that you're interested in?
Yeah.
I read this just cover to cover for, so I suppose, for 6 months or whatever before the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I loved it. So every page of this I can, like, vividly remember. It's kind of innocently dated. So you've got the team pages here. For instance, so you've got Holland. It's got a description of them. For the record, so it's got, like, all the stats about Holland. First is the address of the Dutch Football Association.
And then you have to write a letter.
Then you've got their telephone number, as if you're going to phone the Dutch Football Association.
Let's ring them.
Shall we ring them?
Let's ring them right now.
Okay, get your phone.
I mean, there's no way that number's still active.
What's the Dutch dialing code?
010. All of the foreign ones it's got down as 010. So
plus
31.
So
031,
yeah.
So 0031.
Yeah.
34341922.
1922.
1922.
1922. Okay.
Chris is currently... Oh, that's a shame. Do you want to try Austria? Also, it's just slightly dated. Cameroon are described as the Cameroons throughout. The Cameroons.
Has it got a bit in here about, like, young up-and-coming players, ones to watch for the future?
No, it hasn't. No, sadly. Although... I've always been fascinated by it in here. I've never really heard of him. Hugo Maradona, Diego's brother.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Hugo
Maradona, midfielder, age 20, Real Vallecano. Younger brother of Diego Maradona and also on Napoli's books. Napoli loaned him to the promotion chasing Madrid side Real Vallecano to gain experience. He presumed he just fell by the wayside. What's quite interesting, and of course it is all these things are the same things that we've been talking about in the build-up to this World Cup, like all the classic games, are still the same classic games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because history hasn't, like, rewritten.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an absolutely beautiful book. There's all these golden goals with these amazing diagrams where they've, like... Because obviously this is before YouTube.
I was obsessed with those pictures as a kid.
So you've got diagrams of how goals are scored, because obviously I must have read this book and seen these diagrams of these goals that I had absolutely no way of seeing.
Yeah.
Because how in 1990 do you access footage of Paolo Rossi's goal against Brazil?
Yeah.
Unless it's on something. It's a really beautiful artefact. I'd be fascinated if other people had it. I can't believe that we've just lapsed into boring old Panini and this hasn't... This is so much better. I can't believe this hasn't become the norm.
There's a lovely diagram of Jeff Hurst's controversial goal in the 1966 World Cup final where it hit the bar and then down onto the line. That would make a lovely bit of art, wouldn't it? This is such a magnificent...
What I like about it is...
Has it crossed the line in that picture?
It has, according to that picture.
Hold the line, yeah.
Of course it has. I saw that goal the other day. How was there ever a debate that even considered crossing the line? I remember when I was a kid, that was a debate.
It
so clearly didn't cross the line.
But haven't they done sort of computer mock-ups?
They don't need to. It hits the line. There's no way that's crossed the line.
It was such a big thing, and like it was constant that debate. I felt like.
Yeah, no one cares anymore.
No
one cares. It's a wonderful thing, and also occasionally just players. Like, I've just turned on to Sweden now, and they've got Anders Limpar, who I didn't even know played in the 1990 World Cup.
Probably time traveling.
But it's an absolutely beautiful sticker book. It's the best sticker book there's ever been.
It is. I've got nothing but envy looking across at that. I'm straight on eBay after this.
Well, so am I, mate. 400 quid. So those are our three. The World Cup 90 sticker album from Orbis, the World Cup 90 collection, the 1998 coin collection, and the Coca-Cola soccer ball. So all you've got to do is go onto social media and vote, and it will be the best piece of merchandise related to a 1990 World Cup. If you want to get in touch about any of those, then this is Jim Rosenthal to tell you how.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list @quicklykevin.com.
But until then, I will end with a quiz. Shall I do the quiz question?
Yeah, do it.
So, the question is, I want you to tell me, it was considered the most boring World Cup 1990. And England's group, with the Republic of Ireland, Netherlands and Egypt, was considered the most boring group. I'd like you to tell me, how many goals were scored across six group games? Michael, to start.
Okay. I'm not going to show my workings, but I think it was seven.
Chris?
Across six games? Surely not. Let's go nine. It's got to be more, surely.
It was seven.
Yes!
Oh! What are you going for, Michael? What? Show your workings.
I had written one all, because I think England drew with Ireland all.
Yeah.
And then I thought Holland had beat someone 2-0, but that might be a fake memory.
That's a fake memory.
And then I just guessed at seven after that.
I'm not going to show my workings.
Yeah.
I got one result right, and then guessed. England 1, Ireland 1. Holland 1, Egypt 1. England 0, Holland 0. Ireland 0, Egypt 0. England 1, Egypt 0. Ireland 1, Holland 1. What a dreary group.
That's
that
a boring World Cup. You think we're so lucky with this World Cup we've just had. It's been amazing, isn't it? And that guy in The Guardian described it as the most boring World Cup ever. Like after a week and a half.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's not over yet as we record, but I would say it's easily the best World Cup in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Easily. And England's route to the final really helped because, well, we don't know how we did because we're recording ahead of time. Michael, what would you like to end on?
So to play out the show, I would like Montel Jordan's 1995 banger, This Is How We Do It.
Lovely.
This is how we do it. Guys and canine, all the gang.